Good morning, church. Great to be together today. Pastor Tim here. I have the great privilege of serving as the senior pastor here. If you're new, it's so good to have you with us. And regular or new, how good is it to be together in community, even online? You know, we might still be a little physically distanced, but we are neither socially nor spiritually. And I want to encourage each of us that, whether we connect online or in person, you are loved. And we want to disciple you, pray for you. We need your prayers and we need your encouragement as we encourage you as well. We're in the final week of a 7-week series on the topic of identity. Such an important topic and so many wonderful things that the McDonald kids shared with us, that Karen and others shared in previous weeks, and Ian talked about as we shared communion today, and I get to continue that today. But first, we've got a few members of our church family celebrating birthdays, so I want to give a big shout out to my dad, whose birthday it was yesterday. Love you, Dad. Appreciate you, and thank you for all the investment and love that you have blessed me with. Got another guy who's kind of like a spiritual father who's invested in this church and my life, and that is Reverend Paul Downey. He and his wife Anne moved to Warrnambool, and it's his birthday today, I think. And we have Anne-Marie King, one of our staff members, who celebrates her birthday today as well. So, hey, in the chat, come on, let's engage. Give a shout out, give a happy birthday. It is great to be here together. I'm so glad you've joined us. Identity asks the question, who am I? And whilst this is a timeless question, it's something we really need to look at, and the past 20 years have had such a significant impact on this question that we probably need to come back to this all the time. Who am I? Who are we? Cara Powell, who is the executive director of the Fuller Youth Institute, She does a couple of things. She is part of Fuller Seminary. She is in charge of their leadership formation. She's an author. She's a mum. She has an incredible amount of stuff to say about meaning, purpose, and identity. These things, these big questions of life. And one of the things that she says is that this question, who am I, which is indeed timeless, has had the heat turned up massively in the past few decades. Why is that? Well, there are a few reasons, but with the advent of the internet and social media, I wonder if you think just a few generations ago, how many voices would have formed someone's identity? Well, family, friends, community around them, but they were connected with maybe, 20, 30, 50, 100, and then maybe a few more in kind of close proximity. I think, there's some kind of integers and measurements of actually healthy relationships. And, we can't have as many as the internet or social media want us to think we can. It puts this incredible amount of pressure. And what it means is that for past generations, there were a certain amount of voices speaking into this question, who am I? Now, it's almost infinite. And you feel this most acutely if you are 30 years old or below. I mean, if you asked an adult now, would you want to go back and be a teenager again? They might have said no for many different reasons. But one of the main ones would have to be the immense flow of information. Social media, the internet, the instantaneous nature of information getting out there, how many people we're connected with, how much we know about world events, information in the news, and that effect on us. It is profound. It's hard to quantify. And so before we step into this final week on identity, I want to pray. I want to invite you with me to slow down. Literally, I am going to slow down. And I want to quiet the voices around us, because this might be, for many different reasons, your only quiet space in the week. I have 3 little boys. We're doing a house renovation. We have a busy life. We're connected with lots of people. I understand your problem. We all need to slow down together. So let's do that. Lord, help us to be still and to know that you are God. Ready our hearts for how you want to speak to us from your word. We don't meet just for more information that overwhelms. We are invited to come to you to find rest. Many of us are weary. This is a difficult season, Lord. There are so many voices. There is so much noise. I pray not just for the 30 and below, as I pray for everybody, that we would be formed first and primarily when we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior by what He has done and, Lord, what you say about us. So we slow down right now, Lord. We are ready, not for more information, but for continued transformation to become more like Jesus, to love more like Christ, to have these truths set us free. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. All right, so the Apostle Paul in Colossians 4 is writing this to churches in Colossae from prison. And he says this in Colossians 4 verses 2 to 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains, literally. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, those who don't yet believe. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Great words from the Apostle Paul. And I want to use an analogy today to give us an object lesson on this idea of what our identity forms in us and the saying to be in the world, but not of the world. Now, first, let's debunk one of the greatest mysteries and, you know, problematic tensions in cooking. When you're cooking pasta, you got your hot water there. What are you going to add to it? You're going to throw some salt in there. If you're not doing that, come on. This is like 101. I love cooking. Put some salt in there. And you're going to add oil. Ooh, are you? Man, I mean, if you research this, this is so contentious. But, you know, the theory is don't add oil because, one, oil and water don't mix. Two, what happens is the oil just coats your pasta and the sauce you're going to add it to won't stick. So, look, I've helped you today. I'm so glad that I can be so helpful. But what I want to say is let's use this different analogy. Let's use this water right here. I've got a bowl here, a glass bowl. I've got a spoon. I've got some water and I've got some oil. And I think I'm probably on this camera over here. So the oil represents the world. How are we doing? Yeah, I was thinking that maybe this bowl was pretty big. So I've got the water here. The water represents the world. And, you know, in chemistry, in science, there's this saying, like dissolves like. And so, you know, if I put sugar in that water or I put salt in that water, it's going to dissolve because the molecules in there are polar. Like dissolves like. Now, what's this? I've got some oil. Now, oil is also a great metaphor for the Holy Spirit, who through Christ has been poured into our hearts. What happens when I add the oil? Now, these are not the most distinct colors from each other, but I'm adding quite a bit of oil here. This is a nice high smoke point canola oil, good for cooking a steak or something else. And I don't know if you can see that, but I'll explain it, that in this glass bowl, half full of water, where I've just poured a whole bunch of oil, it's mixing the oil and water together perfectly, isn't it? No, of course not, because water is polar and oil is non-polar. They do not dissolve like because they are not alike. And what actually happens is because the water molecules are closer together, it sits on the bottom, and the oil molecules being a little bit more, kind of spread out, floats to the top. And even if I take this spoon, right now they're totally separated with a line of oil. Even if I give it a really big stir, shake it up, as the world often gives us a really big shake and we get all shaken up, what we see still happens. The oil still comes to the surface, still sits separate. And in this analogy, if the water is the world, we have been called out of the world by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, his lordship over our lives. And so we are the oil. We sit separate. Our identity is to be in the world, there together, but not of it. Our life is actually hidden with Christ in heaven. We've been given a new life and a new identity. And so we live lighter. The invitation in Christ is to come and find rest. Now, lighter and above doesn't mean superior. Actually, this grace that has saved us invites us to lose all arrogance, all pride, all superiority, and realize that while the two cannot mix and we are apart, we are not superior. It is only by the saving grace of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that we have been set free like this. And so the question is, who am I? Who am I? I am a Christian. In Christ, I am first in Christ. Because of what Jesus has done, I have received this new identity that pulls me away and means that we are no longer citizens of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so if I was going to drop like a whole bunch of bad stuff in there, what would happen to it? It would sink to the bottom. It would affect the water most acutely, and the oil would still sit above. Not because the oil, not because we are superior, but because of what Christ has done and bought for us. John 8:32, this is Jesus saying this. And the principle, he's saying it to the Jews, but the principle is the same for us. He says to the Jews, this is John 8:32, to the Jews who had believed him, to we who believe him, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We are free. Through no work of ourselves beyond faith and the work that God has us to do, but that's not what saves us. It is through our faith, through the finished work of Jesus. And so we are not superior, but rather humble, loved, cherished, saved, future assured, invited no longer to be fearful or to be worried or to be hateful, but to be grounded in this truth. And so this profound outcome in Christ, we're set free of so many of the things that weigh down the world. We look around now as much as ever in history and people are more fearful, they're more worried, they are statistically, clinically, and literally more depressed, more anxious than ever before. We talked about the heat turned up on the question of who am I for those who are 30 and below. And the stats around depression and anxiety have only increased more and more and more. And this topic of identity and this topic in question of who am I is more convoluted and complex and loud and noisy and scary and uncertain. And yet Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and you will find rest, and I will tell you who you are. God wants us to expand his kingdom as the world sees his power at work in us. And so I've taken a while to get there, and my message is not going to be that long today. But my title for today from Colossians 4 that talks about being vigilant, my title is Vigilant, Not Vigilante. Vigilant, not vigilante. So what's the difference? Vigilant is watchful. Vigilant acts in faith and truth, in grace, seasoned with salt. Vigilante is to take justice into our own hands. And you're like, what's wrong with that? I love Batman. There's a new Batman in which Batman be messing people up. And here's the thing, although sometimes we might want to be Batman, be the vigilante, the problem is that Jesus says you are to love your enemies. And so you got to wrestle, who am I? Am I some Batman wannabe who wants to do that like the world wants me to? Or do I realize who I am in Christ? Citizenship in heaven. Eyes, mind focused above, not below. Because, unfortunately, the outcome of the vigilante is almost always negative. Colossians 4, if you remember, be vigilant, be watchful and ready. See what's going on in the world, but be ready for when Jesus returns. Be first worried about the state of your own heart and your own soul and who you are and that question of who am I, because Scripture answers it, the Bible answers it for us, and that holds us together. And out of that, verse 6 says, be gracious, full of grace, and have some salty speech. And Matthew Henry in his commentary says this, we make mistakes, right? What he says is this, though our speech is not always of grace, because sometimes we say things and we go, I really wish I could take that back. And sometimes you got to be careful, because once it's out, you can't take it back. You ask for forgiveness. It's up to the other person to forgive you or not. But he says this, though we make mistakes and our words aren't always of grace, they must always be with grace. So the things that we say sometimes come out, but just slow down, talk to the Lord and make sure that what you are saying, what you are doing is with grace. What keeps our speech from corruption is grace. Grace extended to people because of the grace extended to us. I can't wait. Love Christmas. We're already in Advent, and I can't wait to unpack that topic over our December service. This is going to be so fun to get into that. Why does grace have this impact? Because we have been graced with truth. The truth of the answer to who am I? Paul Tripp is an American pastor, and I don't know if you know who he is, but the more that I'm hearing about him and from him, his teaching, his little one-liners, and I really appreciate this guy and his input and his heart that mirrors Christ. Paul Tripp says this, grace will smash your pride and then give you more reason to live with confidence than you've ever had before. Let me just say that again. Because someone is sitting there going, I've got to have confidence in myself to be able to live confidently. That's a lie. It's rubbish. The outcome doesn't help anybody. Have confidence in Christ, in what He has done. Be set free of this kind of self-confidence. Have it in Him. Walk in the assurance of what He has done. Grace will smash your pride and then give you more reason to live with confidence than you've ever had before. It's this reality that we can be humble because we did not accomplish this ourselves. So even if we're like, look what I did, you did nothing. It is not from you that you are saved. But what has happened is that the life of Jesus, the characteristics of Christ have been poured into you so that you no longer mix as you did. You are the oil sitting separate and above, not superior, but there because of what Jesus has done. You are lighter above, heart, mind, and spirit set on things that are above, not below. Lightened of the load of offense, opinion, prejudice, You are who God says you are, not what people think or say of you, the box you've been put in, what social media or culture says. The truth has set us free in Christ. John 1:4 says this of Jesus: in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. He is our life. He is the light which he has given to us. He calls us to be that. Not superior, but saved and assured. I don't want to go back through, but Quinn and Asta, those two young kids who were speaking the scriptural truth of what God says about us, was so good. And Karen's message last week, go back if you missed it. She went through so many truths about who we are in Christ. We are assured of these truths. Well, assured for what? Because we are not saved just for our own sake. We are saved to have an impact in the world around us. And Matthew 5, which Ian pretty much shared as well before, I'm going to look at Matthew 5, verse 13, the start of, 14, the start of, and verse 16. I want to keep it short today. Says this: you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Our identity is assured in Christ so that we can accomplish what God has called us to do. In Christ, every question: who am I? What's life about? What am I supposed to do? All are answered. But you have to be aware of the almost infinite voices in our current cultural moment, to steal that term, that are vying for your attention, that are polluting your identity, that are trying to stir you up. But I want to encourage you today, as I bang this spoon, that no matter how stirred you felt in Christ, you will still come out and be separate. And if you don't know Jesus today, just as I finish, we're going to give you an opportunity to say yes to following him. How do you live a life that glorifies God? Only by having the life of Christ in you. Realizing that you are in this world, in a world in which there is pain and suffering and division and fear and hardness, the things, unfortunately, that happen to us, but God will use those things to grow us in our maturity. But remember that your life is hidden in Jesus. The answer to who am I is answered in Jesus Christ. Christ has given you his life, and your life is hidden in him, that out of you might live a life glorifying God for people to see. And out of you might come love that God himself has poured into your heart by his Holy Spirit. The biblical metaphor of the Holy Spirit is oil. And that's the same metaphor we're using today. The Holy Spirit has been poured into you that you might be the oil sitting above, that you might be salt and light. The Bible invites us, tells us, to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And as I reflected on this, there are some truths in this. God doesn't need our love, but wants it. God doesn't need our love, but wants it. And often you'll come across people who don't want your love, but they sorely need it. And the only way that we can love sacrificially at great cost to ourselves, love our enemies, love our neighbors who don't disagree with us, is to realize and hold on to who we are. It's not easy, but it is profound and it's clear. And the Apostle Paul is telling us in this letter, just as I finish today, as those who are found in Christ, we are to be vigilant in prayer. Prayer praising God, prayer thanking God, prayer petitioning or asking of God. There is no time not to pray. And certainly now, for the reasons of the chaos in the world, for the reasons of the infinite voices vying to answer that question for you, who are you? They want to lie to you. For the sake of our young people who are being lied to, come out of that. Be who you have been called to be in the finished work of Christ. Now is no time to stop praying. No matter our busyness, the noise of the world, it is not time to give up on prayer, whether it just slips away quietly without priority or whether you make a conscious decision not to bother with it. We have never had more opportunities in the life of church to pray than right now. I encourage you to take them, but even more so, to quiet the world around you, pause, and spend time in prayer with God. Because not doing that will have a huge impact on your identity. The less time you spend speaking and listening to God, the less your heart will mirror His. The more uncertain and worried you'll be. You cannot find your identity outside of Jesus. You won't know your calling without Him. You won't accomplish your purpose on your own because it's been given to you by God, designed to not be accomplished without Him. It's too big for you. By design, it's too big for one of us. By design, because we're created to be in relationship with God and community with one another. That is to be the church. There are infinitely more voices than in past generations shaping our identity. So it is infinitely more important to make space to hear the voice of God in stillness, in prayer, and in His word. I want to pray for all of us as I close. Lord, help us to be vigilant, faithful in prayer. Give us discipline around the simple but profound act of slowing down, of being still, of quietening all the voices and all of the busyness to spend time with You. And I've talked about this kind of imaginary line of 30 and above and 30 below. Lord, I pray everyone 30 and above who still grapples with the question of who am I, that we would be prayerfully holding up those who are younger, those who are navigating that question, who am I, in a world that is so loud, so interconnecting, but so isolating at the same time. Lord, help us as You are drawing even that one person to Yourself right now to find the answer to that question in Jesus. Help us to listen first and foremost to You, that our hearts might mirror Yours. That, Lord, as we're going to look at Christmas, just as You have made space in Your kingdom and Your family for us, that we would in turn, out of that grace, make space for others. Help keep us connected in community to one another, but firstly, Lord, connected with You, and may our identity be found and set and assured and grounded in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, wherever you are, whatever is ahead of you in the day today and the week to come, we are praying for you. We love you. We are cheering you on. And we look forward to communicating this week as to what it looks like for our services over December and January. God bless. See you soon.